Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, All God Needs is One Moment.
Isaiah 54 and 7, it reads like this, For one small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. Amen. For one small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. One more time. Amen. For one small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, give me articulation of speech. Let me say what it is that you, oh God, assigned me. You've anointed me. You've appointed me. And you've sent me with this word, God. So let me declare it. Let me say it in a way that, oh God, the ears could hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, but our hearts would now, oh God, would make us doers of the word and not hearers alone. God, we take authority against everything that now would have attempted to distract us. And now we're focused, God. We're leaning in, God. I decree over this whole sanctuary that we're leaning in from the youngest to the oldest. We're leaning in that we would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. This is our prayer this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said amen and amen. For a few moments, I want to talk, amen, from a subject, and it is God saying to us, not Lawrence saying to us, but God saying to us, all I need is one moment. All I need, and the I there, if you need to, put parentheses and put God in there, all I need is one moment. All I need is one moment, all right? Let's go, Mass Media. Let's go with the notes, all right? Don't worry about the announcements, all right? Come on, tell somebody, all I need is one moment. All I need is one moment, amen? And then sign it, God. Tell them God. Yeah, that's God saying that. All I need is one moment, all right? The book of Isaiah is, and ministers, you can be released. Hold on, go ahead and stay with me because I ain't going to be long. You're going to take me through here prophetically. Amen. All I need is one moment. Amen. That's signed God, right? Not Lawrence, all right? The book of Isaiah is considered by theologians as the chief of the writing prophets. He has more comprehensive testimony and distinctiveness of the prophet of redemption. Nowhere else in Scripture, like in the book of Isaiah, is there a clear view of the law coupled with grace, right? The law coupled with grace, the law being our schoolmaster to bring us into grace and truth, and grace and truth being Jesus Christ, right? Nowhere is that seen like it's seen in the book of Isaiah. Nowhere. In the book of Isaiah, even the Messiah manifests, and we meet face to face with redemption and grace and truth, which is full of mercy and full of love and full of power. If there's anything that we really need in this season, it is redemptive power and grace and truth, which is full of mercy and love and power. One of the mistakes that is being made with talking about God is just talking about a God of love. Because he's more than a God of love, he's a God of mercy, but on the other end, he's a God of power. He ain't to be played with. And Isaiah is attempting to show us this. Give me a minute, I won't be long there, right? The word Isaiah, in Hebrew, it means Yahweh is salvation. So whenever Isaiah is being read, then salvation is probably flowing in what is being spoken. Isaiah means Yahweh is salvation. If you do a little bit of study of Isaiah, you'll find out that Isaiah is more than likely married to a prophetess. And they're not sure whether it was by profession or by her marriage to a prophet. I didn't come to deal with that theologically, but her sons are important, all right? Because if you're going to understand Isaiah, then you need to understand the names of her two sons, all right? The first one is Shear, S-H-E-A-R, Joshua, J-A-S-H-U-B. And if I pronounced it wrong, forgive me. His names mean only a remnant will return. I think we're on this massive assignment trying to get everybody to come to go with God. But the prophets have already told us broad and wide is the way that leads to destruction. But narrow, y'all ain't saying nothing. And few are they that find it. Everybody, oh God, I really appreciate y'all. Everybody's not going with God. For some people, God's standard is just a little too high. And we got to get out of this mindset that we're going to convince the masses to go with God. So the first name of Isaiah's son, it means only a remnant will return. The second name is probably the most longest name in the Bible. It's Maher Hashbaz. It's crazy. Come on, English majors, y'all about to have to help me. But his names mean speedily the booty will be taken away. And that term booty, y'all don't get nasty on me, all right? That term booty in the Hebrew and the Greek, it has to do with the spoils of war. So only a remnant is going to return, and the returning remnant going to snatch the booty. I know that don't sound right. You can't preach that, Pastor. You got to clean that up. All y'all women are looking at me real strong now. I finally got your attention. Well, only a remnant gonna snatch the spoils of war. I'll clean it up for you. Yeah, that's a little better. Only a remnant is gonna snatch the spoils of war. Some of y'all are sending out what I just said and they gonna twist up what I said. Only a remnant is gonna snatch what we gain from the war. Only a remnant gonna see why we had to go through what we went through. Only a remnant is gonna survive and see God's goodness on the other side of trouble and tribulation and problem and perplexities. Because Yahweh is salvation. And if you wait on it, He'll bring you out. Isaiah writes to serve as a schoolmaster, bringing us to Jesus Christ, that we'll understand how to be infilled with the Holy Ghost. If there's ever been a time that we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, it's right now. It's right now. Don't stop holding on. You got me there now, son. All right, Isaiah begins to demonstrate how Yahweh uses, and I'm getting ready to go now. I won't be long. Isaiah demonstrates how God uses days and months and years and times to bring his chosen people into until now moments. And you probably need to write that down because I'm going to keep referencing that. Isaiah shows us how God uses days, months, and years, and times to bring us into until now moment. There's some days that we had to live through to get to an until now moment. There's much that we've had to survive and not knowing how we're going to do this and do that to get to a until now moment. There's times designated, good God Almighty. If you wanted to upgrade, you could not upgrade yourself because it wasn't until now moment. So Isaiah begins to show us that God has used in days and months and years and times. That makes us ask God sometimes, God, why this got to take so long? Some of y'all are not old enough to understand the other side of sometimes he takes a long time. God, you're preaching in here already. Every now and then, this takes a little longer than I would have chosen. And Isaiah shows us that God uses days. God uses months. God uses years and times before I can bring you in until now moment. Okay, let me say it a little better that you might understand it. You had to go through all of that. You had to go down that road. You had to see no return days, but making it anyhow so you can find out who God really is. Choosing years and days and months and times to bring us into an until now moment. He uses those days and those months and those years because those are stages of preparation. He knows when we get to a moment like this, it's going to change everything. Y'all stay with me. Come a little bit closer. Lean in a little bit more. He knew he had to take us through that because when we got to an until now moment, it was going to change everything. So he couldn't let us get in too soon. He couldn't let us get in when it would pop off our head. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit deeper. He couldn't let us get in because they were still with us. I'm going to let preach it here, y'all. And where I'm taking you, they can't go. So until you let them go, I can't take you nowhere. I'm going to let preach it here now. And I'm learning now to throw up my hands and say, God, thank you for those days. Yeah, I feel like preaching. And I'm going to preach over your looks this morning. I'm going to preach over your discerning. I'm going to preach over your deepness, which is really shallow. And we're going to really go somewhere deep. I feel like preaching. He uses days and months and years before he brings us an until now moment because there's a whole lot of stuff that had to fall off of us. Yeah, God. There's a whole lot of stuff that had to be shaped and spiritually formed in us. There's a whole lot of ideologies that he had to reprogram. That period of your life made your mind too small thinking. That period of your life make you feel inferior because your skin color. Had to minister to a young girl from New Breed this week because she was feeling dark-skinned was a problem. She said, why old are y'all? Because she asked me what color was my wife. I said, a little bit of pecan brown, a little bit of tangerine orange. She said she ain't dark-skinned. Folks are hung up on. Okay, I'm gonna say that again. We think we're too dark. We think we're too light. We think we're too wide. We think we're too skinny. We think we're too tall. We think we're too short. And God said, until you get rid of all of that, I don't have no moment that's for you yet. Come on, somebody say, it's time to shake it off. Some of us need to shake off what they did to us when we were little children. Think in a certain way, and God said, that ain't my mind. Come on, tell your neighbor, shake it off. Some of y'all need to shake the last 6 months off. Some of y'all need to shake the last 6 minutes off. Some of y'all need to shake the last 6 years off. Whatever it is, as a prophet of the Lord, I'm gonna snatch it whether you want to release it or not. Because it's time for you to go to an until now moment. God has used days and months and years. Because he wanted to show us, I am your salvation. He wanted to show us, you are the remnant that's going to return. High five the right person and tell him, we are the remnant that's going to return. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. Come on, tell somebody, you got here just in time. You got here just in time. Because we are the remnant that's going to return. We are the remnant that's going to burn with fire. We are the remnant that's going to see miracle signs and what. We are the remnant that's going to take the spoils of war to this next place. So in chapter 54, Isaiah is dealing with restoring his wife. Isaiah 54. I'm trying to walk into the text. God is dealing with, I'm ready for my wife to return. And his wife is Israel, which becomes the body of Christ, but I'm not going that deep theologically yet. He's ready for his wife to return. He's longing for his people to be restored back and walk in their designated walk. You didn't hear what I said. It is now time for restoration. God wants his wife back. God wants that has backslid. He getting ready to bring it back. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He said, I'm married to you and you can't get away from me. So in Isaiah 54, he's dealing with restoring his wife. I had time. We go over to Joel chapter 3 because he's going to restore the years, even the canker and the locust and the palmer worm and the caterpillar. Everything that has been among my people, that has eaten up my people, I'm getting ready to deal with it so I can get my wife back. Let somebody in here know, regardless of how the prince of the power of the air have moved and have enticed and have deceived and how he's led astray, ultimately, Yahweh works everything after his own counsel. Yahweh works everything after his own counsel. And God moves into a time and a day and a season and a month and until now that he begins to order stuff by his word. He began to prove that it ain't no weapon for you. Don't kill you, steal you, destroy you. Put you in my hands. So he says, I'm bringing you to an until now. One of the keys in this hour is learning how to distinguish what is present truth. Is truth and what it means to, in present truth, stand on Christ. He used times, he used days, he used months. I promise you, I'm trying to walk you the way I'm going. He used months and years to get us ready for the until now. Separation of truth and present truth. Here is the present truth. Though the outward man is perishing, the inner man is being renewed day by day. Do y'all know why we're often counted out? Because what folks see on the outside. What they think they know about our money. What they think they know about our relationship, what they think they know about what's next in our life. But the scripture here says that's the truth, but it might not be present truth. What's going on outwardly might be total contrast what's going on inwardly. And you can't get to the until now moment until you get this. Stop judging everything on how you feel. Like I keep spinning my wheels going nowhere. Well, let's stop talking about your feelings. The question is, the question is not what you're losing, what you're gaining externally. The truth is, what are you losing and gaining inwardly? Lord, because God's trying to build up our faith. God's trying to build up the spirit man in us. God's trying to build up the way we love even when we hate it. If you're judging exteriorly by what's truth and what's present truth. Y'all hear me? You'll understand this later. Your house could have been just repossessed, and God is saying that's exactly what she needs. See, because we think materialistically, we think what can be worse than losing our house? Let me tell you what can be worse, losing your soul. And because we are endowed in the American dream, which really is an American nightmare, because we are so materialistic and because we're so carnal, we're judging faith by cars and houses and rings and watches and iPads and materialistic stuff, and you might be a rich devil. Might have this whole wide world and Jesus ain't nowhere close to your heart. But because we tap into this American stuff, we're looking exteriorly. We're judging where people are by what we're looking at with our natural eyes. And we got to go a little bit deeper now and say, I see you. You say you are rich. Oh God, preach up in here, Lord. You say you're rich and you have need of nothing, but you are. Gets a promotion. Look what the Lord has done. Every time they throw $10,000 at us, we lose our minds. Come a little bit closer. I wish y'all knew who y'all was talking to or listening to. I don't want no promotion that's going to take me out of reading my Bible. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I don't want no promotion that now I don't have time for my children. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I don't want no promotion that now I don't have time to come to the house of the Lord. I don't want none of them promotions. Okay, y'all ain't saying that, so I'm preaching a little bit louder. I don't want no promotion that now I don't have time to read my Bible because I got to make the numbers. And I got to be there for the man. I don't want that kind of promotion. Y'all can have that. Because I found out, amen, his words are spirit and they are life. And when I'm in my lowest times, the job will let me down. But the word will pick me up. And see, because we're so Americanized, we don't even know the difference of who gave that promotion. Okay, y'all don't know. Especially since y'all been here 20 years. I'm Bible book and verse, man. Y'all know me. Okay, Jesus with Satan. What does Satan say? I have these kingdoms to give you. And Jesus ain't never rebuke him. Because he's the prince and the power of the air. And he has kingdoms according to Revelation. Because his kingdoms are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ later on. So where did our promotion come from? I'll take a promotion inwardly all day long over something exteriorly. Hey God, I know when I get promoted inwardly, I'm ready for the next fight. Y'all ain't saying that. I know when I get promoted inwardly, I'm now knowing how to talk to my children regardless of where they're weighing. I know when I get promoted inwardly, when hellhounds come on my trail, I don't run, but they start running. When I get promoted inwardly, come hell or high water, I gotta bless God anyhow. And the two or three of y'all in the room, what the problem right now is you got promoted exteriorly, but you got demoted interiorly. Now your morals are lower. Now you're standing. Now a little lying to get the job done. You know, God's using you. Lying wonder. God uses you to tell truth. ain't saying nothing, but I'm going to keep preaching anyway. Wait. Come on, Snip. Say, when you get your last promotion. Be careful. The American Success Story will tell you God gave it to you, and now you don't even talk to your wife. No, thank you. I looked at my wife yesterday, and I ain't even tell her. I said to myself, give me 50 more years. She looked so pretty when I got on that airplane. I said, give me 50 more years. Y'all don't take this wrong. Don't take this wrong. Don't take this wrong. Come on, tell me, but don't take me. What he gonna say next wrong? Y'all know what I discovered? All of y'all will leave me, and she'll be standing right there with me. Okay, I'm trying. And this is what I'm telling pastors. Don't fall in love with your congregation and fall out of love with your wife. No, thank you. Devil, no deal. Promotion that even when I'm walking around my house, I woke up last night, God woke me up last night, and my wife and I was in a different room than we normally sleep in, and I saw some creatures moving in my house, and God said, get up and go speak to them. Yeah, God, because God, I feel you, because I've been promoted, I don't care if something walk in my house, I'm getting up to walk it back out. When you get an inward promotion, when devils and demons, they try to attack your mind and try to attack your relationship, you can rise up in the spirit of Christ and you say, the Lord rebuke you. And I know exactly where it came from. Let me help some of y'all. And I'm going to get that cleaned up a little bit later this afternoon. He said the video games that your children been watching down here released some spirits in here and they was peeking at you. Woke up about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I kept seeing something look around the corner, look at me like, I know Malachi and Isaiah didn't come down here. And I said, let me listen. I said, no, that was Malachi. He got a heavy foot. I'd hear him all over the town. Isaiah would have called out daddy, daddy by now. And so I saw one peep out this way, another one peep out this way. And I got up with my heavy hands. And I said, I'm saying to myself, Sister Franklin, I hope you want to fight. See, when you get, oh God, y'all didn't hear what I said. When you get promoted in your spirit, man, you can now look at spirit and say, I hope you want to fight because you got the right one, baby. I don't care if your name is Prince. I don't care if your name is Principality. I got something in me that's greater than anything out of me. And we will rebuke you in Jesus' name. Something going on inwardly that you need to measure a little bit better than what's going on exteriorly. Because this outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's supposed to be the present truth.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.